Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, we come before you today with a grateful heart. We're thankful for who you are. We know that we know that we know you are the great provider. Whether we understand that or not, Lord, you've provided for all of our needs. And Lord, there are some other things that are going on in our lives right now, and we just point our request towards heaven. Some are in need of physical healing. I think of Belinda Bigger and her dad and her family tonight. Oh, God, just bless him, would you? Give him what he needs. And there's so many others, Lord. I pray for Tony Batson, who's recovering from knee surgery. And Lord, there are so many other issues that are going on around us. And I lift up Wayne Abrams and his family, the loss of his son, and there's so many. I could go on all morning, Father, but I know this. Your word tells us to call on you. And when we call, you will answer us. And you'll show us things that we really don't know anything about. And so you're the great God who answers prayer. And we look to you by faith. We can't see you or touch you, but we know you're with us. Because your spirit sits down amongst us and lives within us. So, God, I pray you'd meet every single request that's been lifted up to Jesus this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we know that we know you're alive and well. I'm so glad Jesus got up from the grave, never to die again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we want to pray for Israel this morning also. Forgive us for not doing that more often. We ask that you would settle that situation like only you can over there in that area of the world. But God, we lift up your old, ancient, chosen people and ask God that you would give them wisdom and strength and protection. Thank you, Lord, that we can always give you our burdens. You're the burden bearer. You can handle anything. So God, we just want to give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. How is everybody? Don't answer that. Woo, not ready for that. Yeah. We are going to be this morning in 1 Thessalonians. I want to talk to you about it's something I think about all the time. Jesus is coming. Did he come the first time? Well, he's coming again. You can take it to the bank. Amen. And, you know, there's a whole lot of events under the umbrella of the second coming of Jesus Christ. But at the very beginning of this, what we call the second coming, is the rapture of the church. And so I want to talk about that for the next few minutes. And I've been praying all week long that everybody would get rapture ready. Amen. That's the main thing. Amen. Everybody be prepared for his coming. So if you have a Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, steal the one that's next to you. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read verses 13 through 18. Let's all rise as we read from the Word of God. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Aren't you thankful? The Spirit of God does not want us to be ignorant. Hallelujah. Concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now that's the Bible word for those who have died. Right. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, that's us. Will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all the prayers that have gone up in this place today. Your house is to be a house of prayer. And so, Lord, I ask God that you would make this passage of Scripture real to our hearts. Help us to believe it with all of our being today. And get ready for your coming. I pray for those that don't know you. I pray for those that aren't quite ready, aren't prepared. God, that you'd get us rapture ready this morning. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. This is one of the earliest Christian letters written in around 52 AD. Paul founded the church in Thessalonica around 50 AD. And so he's writing back to these new believers, and they had an issue. How many issues you got today? But these new believers had been taught. Now, Jesus went back to heaven. He ascended back to heaven sometime around 34, 33 AD. And so Jesus has been gone 18 or 19 years back to heaven. And these new believers, the last two or three years, the Apostle Paul had been teaching them and training them and preaching to them. And they knew about the second coming. Well, in this two or three year period, some of these believers had died. And they're wondering now, since Jesus hasn't yet come, are our loved ones who are in Christ, are they going to be disenfranchised or in some way, or slighted, or marginalized? I mean, they were burdened about their loved ones who had gone on and Jesus hadn't yet returned. Some of you are here today and you've had to say goodbye to a loved one. And you're burdened about that. I won't tell you the words that the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul comforted those Thessalonians, and they comfort us this morning. And so Paul writes, the last verse in this passage says, comfort one another with these words. And so he begins to comfort. Now in verse 13, watch this. He says, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, we don't go to a graveside as people without hope. All our hope is in whom? Jesus. That's right. And so we mourn and we sorrow and we grieve just like others, but not as people without any hope. I've done funerals of lost people who have no relationship with Christ. And it's heart-wrenching. It's heartbreaking because they have no hope of ever seeing their loved one again. I want to tell you what, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the game changer. If he's alive, and he is, you better get up and go with the one that's never going to die again. He's alive forevermore. And so Paul's writing to the Thessalonians to ease their burden. And he says, we don't have to grieve as others who have no hope. And he says, because of the gospel. He says, if we believe. Now that word if can be translated since, and I think that's probably a little bit better translation, since we believe the gospel. How many of you believe the gospel this morning? I mean, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so too will our loved ones who have fallen asleep. The Bible word for a believer who dies is the word he sleep. You remember what Jesus, when they'd come to tell them about his best buddy Lazarus, and they said that, they told him that, well, he's dead. And then 2 days later, they told him, well, there's no use in going, you know, quickly to find Lazarus. He's dead. He said, Lazarus isn't dead. He's asleep. And when somebody falls asleep, what do you expect them to do? To wake up. And so our bodies go to the grave. Our bodies, now I don't believe in soul sleep. That's a bunch of heresy. But the Bible tells us that immediately when a believer dies, his body goes to the grave, and it's akin to sleeping. But everything that makes you, you, your soul, your spirit, what makes you think the way you think and react the way you act, the decisions you make, your passion, your attitudes, all of that stuff is who you are. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so Jesus is coming back. And guess who he's bringing with him? Those loved ones of ours who are saved, and their bodies are going to be reunited with their soul and spirit. And they're going to have a body like Jesus. Yeah. And so they're not going to be disenfranchised in any way. They're not going to be left behind. They're not going to be marginalized. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And so that brings great comfort to us today. Now, if you're a believer, it takes faith to believe this. Maybe there's an amen over here. It takes faith to believe this. But I want to tell you what, our God is a supernatural God. There isn't anything that he cannot do. And so you say, well, Brother Cal, we call this event the rapture of the church. The word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, guess what? Do y'all see that verb way down there in verse 17? Caught up. That's the Greek word harpazo for this thing we're calling the rapture of the church. It means snatched away. Caught up. In the 4th century, they were writing a Latin Bible. Scholars had gotten together, and they're writing what's called the Latin Vulgate. Some of you all know this. But when that Bible was completed, this verb caught up in the Latin language is rapio. And guess what word we get from rapio? Rapture. And so we're talking about the catching up, the snatching up, the called out. I mean, it's going to happen just like this, real quick, in a New York nanosecond. Y'all know how fast that is? Hallelujah. So let's dive into the meat of the message now. There are four, in your Bible, in verses 16, 17, there are four shalls or four wills. I will, I shall, you will. You shall. For, and I know some of y'all don't write in your Bibles, but somehow, some way, you need to circle these four wills, these four shalls. Okay? Why? Because they give us four great promises. Four great promises. Are you ready? Here's the first one. Somebody's teaching that young man manners. Hallelujah. It is good to hear a young person say, yes, sir. Come on, y'all. Amen. So, God bless y'all. Now, here's the deal. The first will or the first shall you find, let's read again verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will, there it is, there's the first will, shall. The Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So, this is the promise of return. Jesus Christ is coming again. He's returning. And he's bringing all those saved loved ones of ours with him when he comes. This is the promise of return. Tell somebody, he's returning. Now, there are over 333 prophecies in the Old Testament scriptures that predicted that Jesus would come the first time. They were looking for the Messiah. Did Jesus come?
Yes.
Yes. He showed up and he predicted all of those 333 Old Testament prophecies became true in him. And so here is the promise that he is coming again. This is the promise of return. He's coming again. Now, it says that the dead, it says that he will descend, the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Now, it's the Lord himself who's coming back. Let me just let y'all in on a little secret. Muhammad is not the one returning. No. Joseph Smith is not the one returning. No. Buddha is not the one returning. No. Y'all with me so far?
Yes.
I mean, Hare Krishna is not, David Koresh, they're not the ones returning. It's the Lord himself. And it's not a comet. It's not an angel. It's not some spaceship. It's the Lord himself shall return. He's the one returning. He's the one coming. And so, it's going to be an amazing event. And it's going to happen quickly. And it could happen at any time. Did y'all know there are no more prophecies that need to be fulfilled for this rapture event to take place? It could happen any time. What if it happened this morning? Every time I see a big cloud in the sky, I'm looking up. Oh, Lord, is this it? And then, poof, we're gone. So the Lord himself will descend from heaven. He's coming. You can take it to the bank. And then there are three wonderful sounds that accompany his coming, his return. You see, we don't have to be looking for signs. We're listening for a sound. Oh, that's good. No more signs to be looking for. We're listening for. And the first one is, it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And every time the Lord shouts in Scripture, you know what takes place? A resurrection. He shouted at the tomb of Lazarus, a man who'd been dead 4 days, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth. And a dead man came walking out of the grave. I don't know exactly what he's going to say. By the way, when he was on the cross, what's that favorite word of yours, tetelestai? When he shouted, graves all outside of Jerusalem opened up and gave forth the believers, and they came into the city, people who'd been raised from the dead, who'd been resurrected. And so it's going to happen. Now, what's he going to say? When the Lord himself descends from heaven, he's going to shout. I'm not exactly sure what he's going to say, but look what he did with the old apostle John when he was giving him the book of the Revelation. John said, after these things I looked, and behold. Y'all know what behold means. Look at here, lean in. I'm fixing to tell you something important. Watch this. And a door standing open in heaven. This is the year of the open door. Amen. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. Oh, speaking with me saying, come up here. And I'll show you things which must take place after this. I don't know exactly what he's going to say, but he's going to shout. And John 5:28 says, those who are in the graves will hear his voice. The Lord's going to shout. I don't know. He may say, Daniel, come on up here. And Katie, you come on too if you want to come. All right? He's going to shout and you'll hear his voice. And then secondly, it says the voice of an archangel. The voice of the archangel. Now, over in Jude 9, you know, Moses was buried on Mount Nebo somewhere. And the Bible says that Satan was trying to harm Moses' body. And Michael kept that from happening. And so we're going to hear this voice from the archangel. What's he going to say? I don't know. He may say, well, Satan, your plan didn't work. The saints are coming home. I don't know what he's going to say, but the Lord himself is going to shout. The archangel is going to speak and say something. And then there's going to be a what? Did you see that there? A trumpet will sound. Whew. I'm listening for a trumpet. I love to hear somebody play the trumpet. Don't y'all? Well, six of you do. You know, Israel used to blow on these trumpets. They had several different ceremonial trumpet blasts for different things, different events. And there was one event when they wanted to call the entire nation together, and they would blow these trumpets around the nation, and Israel would come together. Well, on this day, Gabriel's going to toot and we're going to scoot. Some of y'all don't even know who Gabriel is. Hallelujah. And so, man, what a great promise, isn't that? There is the promise of his return. Tell somebody, he's coming. Here's the second will, or the second shall. It's verse 16b. Till the coming of the Lord, by no means precede those who are asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And here it is. And the dead in Christ, what? Will rise first, shall rise first. That's the second one. Circle it. This is the promise of resurrection. By the way, when you come to faith in Christ, you are in him and he's in you. You're joined together forever with Christ. Romans 8, 35 and 39 tell us that nothing can separate the child of God from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Not persecution, not famine, not pestilence, not peril, not sword, not powers, not principalities, not even death can separate us from the love of God. If you're in Christ, you are joined with him. And so these dead believers that the Thessalonians were so worried about that were in Christ, they're coming with Christ when he returns. And when he returns, these three sounds are going to take place simultaneously. I mean, it's going to be an amazing thing. And y'all, we do believe some wild stuff. Say supernatural. Say miraculous. Say I believe. Graves all over this planet are going to open up and give forth the Christian dead. Well, how's he going to do that? I'll tell you what. Anybody that can whisper and the entire creation spring into existence out of absolutely nothing, he can put your ashes together. I mean, your loved one may have died in a plane crash. Or maybe they drowned and their ashes are at the bottom of the sea. Or, you know, you think about all those martyrs who were burned at the stake and all these people. God's not going to have any trouble finding your ashes and putting those back together. And your body, the folks who are dead in Christ, they're going to rise first. I preached a sunrise service over at Greenwood Avenue. And we got to, I got to preaching over there at sunrise. And just over the way, there's my mama and daddy's tombstone. And I won't tell you at the last trumpet, my mom and daddy are going to rise up out of that graveyard. God's going to find them. He knows where they're at, where their body's at. And he's going to reunite their bodies with their soul and their spirit, with everything that they are. And it's not because they were such good people. It's because Jesus is such a great God. Now, that's the second promise. The promise of resurrection. And by the way, we talked a little bit about this last Sunday in Sunday school. You're not ready for heaven. Do you know why? Because our bodies are stained and marred and tainted with sin. And so when we are reunited with Christ and our bodies and soul and spirit, we're in that glorified state, you will never sin again. And then you're ready to go to heaven. Okay, there's not going to be any sin in heaven. It started there, but it's not going to happen anymore. Amen? So, there's the second promise. The promise of resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise first. Now, watch this, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain, that's us, at this event, the rapture of the church, there'll be those believers who are still alive. The dead in Christ are rising. And then we who are alive and remain, here it is, the third one, shall be, will be, caught up, snatched up, caught away, harpazo, rapio. Are y'all with me? Yes. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is the promise of rapture. I love that old Gaither song, Dwight. Learning to live, learning to die, and one of these days I'm going to learn to fly. Hallelujah. So, this is the promise of rapture. This is the promise of and our bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to rise with the dead, right after the dead, and we're all going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. Let me just read some scripture here. I think this helps. This is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Ooh. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Not a blinking of an eye, the twinkling of an eye. I told you it was a New York nanosecond. At the last trumpet. Hello? For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be. These are imperative verbs. Will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so living believers who are in Christ. And by the way, y'all, there's only two ways to die. You either die in Christ or you die in your sin. Why would you want to die in your sin when Jesus paid the price for all your sin? He lived a perfect sinless life. There was an immaculate conception because the Holy Spirit moved on the mother, on Mary's womb. And he lived a perfect, sinless life. And that's how he was able to pay the payment, to make the payment for our sin. He was the sinless one. And so you either die in Christ or you die in your sin, and then you pay for your sin for all of eternity. Why do that when Jesus has paid it all? Hallelujah. So there's a rapture that's going to take place. Think about that. The pilot's going to leave the plane. What's going to happen to the plane? The captain's going to leave the ship. The quarterback's going to leave the offense. The manager's going to leave the office. And bless God, the cook's going to leave the kitchen. Uh-oh. I mean, one minute they're here, the next minute they're gone. It's going to happen just like that. All these sounds, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who remain, and we're going to receive our glorified bodies as well. And we talked about, me and Pam kind of talked about this last week, just she and I with all the rest of you here. Y'all remember that? And she's going to look at me and say, is that you, Brother Cal? My, what an improvement. Yeah.
And you're going to say, I'm still looking good, right?
Yeah, right. I personally believe we'll either be somewhere around the age of Jesus again, because that's the prime of life, amen? Come on, senior adults. Senior adults, we're not in the prime of life. We're in fourth quarter or overtime, maybe. Hallelujah. So I'm rapture ready. Are you? All right, so here's the fourth will, the fourth shall. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay, we're back in 1 Thessalonians. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now watch this. Here's the fourth shall or the fourth will. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. This is the promise of reunion. 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 I don't like family reunions. You're going to have a tough time then, because all God's children are going to get home finally. And we're all going to rise together to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be forever with Him. in our glorified state. Forever. For all of eternity. Whew. Reunion. You got somebody in glory today? Lee and I were talking earlier. He's got a 104-year-old mama in heaven. Well, now, she's probably 106 now, maybe or so. In her 30s. In her 30s. Amen. That's what I'm looking for, brother. How many of you have a loved one who's saved and in Christ that's in glory? Can you imagine not getting to see them again? Well, God's all worked it out. You see, it's either you've got to have Jesus to get there. I love reunions. And I think I've told this to you all before, but I mean, the reunions to end all reunions happens with the Stokes family. Right, Ethel? Come on now, say amen. And they used to have these big Stokes reunions. A lot of the Stokeses are from up around Kentucky. And they used to meet at Fairview, Kentucky, where the Jefferson Davis Monument was. And these Stokeses would come from near and far, from the north, the south, the east, the west. And there'd be dozens of Stokeses running around in this family reunion. And everybody brought food. There was food on dozens of picnic tables. And coolers filled with Coca-Colas and sodas and bottled water. And I mean, there's children there, and they're all playing on the playground. And the teenagers, well, you remember, they're all playing ball. Us senior adults and middle-aged, we couldn't play ball anymore, so we sat around the table and swapped lies about our kids. And then the grandparents, guess what they were doing? Passing around pictures. But along about evening, when it got close to getting dark, that celebration had to break up. And I always remember looking at Granny and Big Daddy, and they'd look sad that the reunion was over, because they knew somebody next year wouldn't be there. Not so with this reunion. All God's people are going to get there. All God's children are going to get home. And we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air, and He's going to take us to glory for 7 years. And there you'll be rewarded for the righteous works that you did. And you'll receive that glorified robe, which are the righteous acts of the saints. For 7 years, we're going to be there. And you don't want to be down here, because hell itself is be breaking loose on earth for 7 years. And then we're all going to get on a white horse, and we're going to follow Jesus back down here. And He's going to set up His earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. And we're going to reign. This is another sermon. But I'm just telling you, God's got it all worked out. He's got it all worked out. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but I've come here today to tell you, Second Mile Church, brother, sister, friend, it may be Sunday afternoon, May the 18th. And all of a sudden there's a commotion in heaven. And the Father looks over at the Son and says, "Son, I think it's more than about time. Go get our people." And the Lord Himself will rise from the throne in heaven, and He will step down. And He'll grab one of those huge, beautiful Shekinah glory clouds. And He'll ride that cloud, and we'll hear Him shout, "Come up here!" And then we'll hear the voice of the archangel, "Praise God, the saints are coming home." And then the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise. And they'll go up singing, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" And then living believers will rise. And we'll go up singing, "Oh grave, where is your victory?" And we will rise to meet the Lord in the air. And imagine this now. We'll see Him as He is. And we'll begin to shout ourselves, "It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him." It's going to happen. He's coming. Well, I'm halfway emotional right now. But I pray that song and the Word of God has made it real in your hearts today. He is coming. But here's the whole deal. If you want to go to the clouds, you've got to go to the cross. If you want to go to glory, glory's got to get in you. And that happens by faith, by grace, through faith. See, we've all got this huge issue. We've all got sin issues. And God hates sin because of what it does to the sinners. And He loved you and me enough to send His Son to become our Savior. And He paid the price on an old cruel Roman cross. And He became the sacrifice for our sin. But He did not stay dead. He got up from the grave 3 days later, never to die again. And we are not in the last days, we're in the last hours. He's coming. He is coming. And in order for you to get ready and be ready for the rapture, you need to turn to Christ with all of your heart and ask Him to forgive you and turn control of your life over to Him. And bless God, He can handle your life. He can take care of things. And He will usher you into His kingdom one day when He comes. And we shall behold Him face to face forever. We'll be with Him. Would you bow your head with me? If you're here this morning, don't let the devil sell you a bill of goods and tell you that you're okay. Your righteousness is like a filthy rag thrown in the face of a holy God. You need the righteousness of Christ. And it comes by grace, by God's grace, through faith in His Son. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if you'd be here today and you're willing and be bold enough and be confident enough and be wise enough to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just pray a simple prayer. Because you see, God's just as much as He's listening to those words, He's listening to your heart. If you'd be willing to say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need You. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He's paid my sin debt. And I believe He's alive forevermore. And right now, by faith, I turn my life over to Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me the kind of man, the kind of woman You want me to be. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for saving me. And I look forward to that day when I see You face to face. Is there anyone here today who prayed with me just now? Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand so I can see it. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Now, if you've done this before, this is not something. You don't get born again 14 times. You just get born again once. You can't be born and unborn. But if you're not sure about your salvation, I wouldn't let the demons in hell keep me from Jesus today. I want to pray for those of you that raised your hands and those that didn't raise your hands. If you prayed, God, give us the courage right now. Give us the courage to take our stand for Christ. If you're here this morning and you've prayed to receive Christ, we want to ask you to just get up out of your seat and come forward. There'll be people here to pray with you and rejoice with you and shout. There'll be people here to get stuff in your hands that'll help you get started in this brand spanking new life you've got and record your decision. And you need to come in just a moment. And then there are others, Father, that are here. And we've all got lost family members, lost friends who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Oh God, we want to bring them to the altar this morning and ask that You would save them. And God, even as You put that sound system together a minute ago, You can put somebody's life back together. And so God, I pray that right now You would burden our hearts for what burdens your great big heart. That we would bring our lost loved ones to Jesus here at the altar and pour out your spirit, pour out their spirit to you here. In Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.